pieces titled Biden Administration Only Has Appearance of Diversity. Please stay with us for more of Robert in Lakesh's article. The recent Western obsession with identity politics has effectively blinded the public from corporate racism in clear sight. US President Joe Biden is no Donald Trump, however, he's also no savior for minority communities. Although on a symbolic level it is great to supposedly see diversity in the government, this is in many ways misses the point if those placed in power do not represent the popular opinions of the communities they come from. The idea of positive discrimination when it comes to electing government officials was supposed to be about ushering in change and a wider representation of minority communities. Elected officials are supposed to, in theory, represent their constituents. Before Americans celebrate the election of someone from a minority community to a position of power in government, they should first investigate the potential for change that they will bring. This is not being cynical, this is just being practical, and is also about not stereotyping someone based upon their color of their skin, their faith or sex, and instead learning about what their track record, their views and policy positions are. To make this easier to understand, nobody will use Condoleezza Rice or Colin Powell as an example of the success of diversification or progression, and with good reason. They were part of an awful war machine that led the US to war and to oppress minorities domestically. Just as if notorious right-wing commentator Candace Owens was elected to a position of power, the left in the United States would barely see cause for celebration. These Orientalist games that are played by America's ruling class must come to an end. It is ultimately an insult that a man who had supported the Iraq War, helped write the infamous crime bill, and was vice president to a man who massacred black and brown people in seven different countries, is praised as some sort of triumph of progressivism. As a Muslim, I can tell you that the feeling of being disenfranchised will not go away due to a more diverse US government having ordered the drone strikes against Muslim-majority countries. From Palestine to Pakistan, from Somalia to Afghanistan, we see little cause for hope from the US Biden administration at this time. With the possible exception of a change from the Trump administration's staunch support for Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. The reversal of the Muslim ban by Biden administration may seem like a sign of goodwill, but when the US is helping to destroy many of the countries on that list, it's not exactly fooling us as to think the US is somehow on our side. The halting of the border wall is also a symbolic move, but wouldn't it be great if the United States was to also halt its policies, which help create many of these refugees attempting to find a better life in the United States? The appointing of Kamala Harris as the first woman of color to hold the position of US Vice President does nothing unless she is willing to create real change for women of color. So far, the Biden administration does not seem to be looking at many of the progressive policies presented to it by African American community, despite promises to act on mass incarceration and on policing. The Democratic Party largely attempted to tag onto the Black Lives Matter movement. Following the murder of George Floyd, they find it easy to take a knee and to place establishment figures from minority communities in office as a means to attract votes, but seem to move forward on nothing else but symbolism. Lloyd Austin is another one of Joe Biden's picks, now the first African American to lead the Pentagon. However, what has been largely ignored is the potentially offensive posture the Biden administration may be taking by employing a former four-star military general to a position traditionally held by a civilian. In fact, this move replicates the Trump administration's pick of James Mattis in 2017, in that Mattis also needed a waiver from Congress for not having been out of the military for at least 7 years. On top of this, Lloyd Austin is well known as having been the brains behind the April 2003 invasion of Baghdad as part of the illegal US war on Iraq, and having employed a failed strategy inside Syria, further exacerbating the large loss of life during the war in Syria. For some, the mere color of Lloyd Austin's skin is all they can see. However, for those critical of policy, Austin's role in illegal and offensive wars in West Asia is certainly cause for concern. The first black president of the United States, Barack Obama, also was able to blind many with his so-called charm, and the impression that the color of his skin would somehow mean a less lethal policy. Instead, Barack Obama contributed to more regime change wars than his predecessor, and upped the US's infamous Predator drone program in 7 different African and West Asian countries. Ultimately, when we look at white supremacy and the racism of empire, we have to understand that it is often employed in a much more intelligent way than your average EDL member. Racism was used in order to justify slavery from a pseudo-intellectual position, in order to protect that institution, with the establishment producing official propaganda to make the public believe that it was some sort of objective fact that black people were inferior. Racism was used in order to justify colonization and settler colonialism, by making Europeans believe that they were part of a superior culture and superior race to the barbarians, savages, and the irrational others. This racism has not gone away. We may like to fool ourselves into believing it, but we are still falling for the same tricks. When Muslims are portrayed as terrorists in movies, in broadcast news, the print press, and by politicians, this is no mistake. When we see Muslim women having to escape their oppressive culture and find a white savior, this is also no mistake. When people are made to believe that their culture is somewhat superior, or that their race or religion is perhaps superior, it is easy then to kill and destroy the inferior ones. Just as the propaganda during the Second World War saw the rounding up of Japanese Americans into concentration camps, and the propaganda about Vietnam War justified the war, racist propaganda is a well-oiled machine. We would be fools to assume that this racism will vanish and that things will immediately get better due to someone like Joe Biden and his establishment figures.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islam I be.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad. Muhammad, praise be upon, praise be upon, and a Muslim for all of time.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, other life forms, if there are any aliens on their spaceship somewhere drifting in outer space, picking up our frequencies and listening to our show,
aliens,
we come in peace. You are listening to Youth Station. I am Zainab.
I'm Hasnain.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Dear brothers and sisters, I hope really that you all are good. You're doing good amidst the pandemic?
Inshallah ta'ala, I hope wherever you are receiving our voice, you are in good health and
inshallah,
wealth
inshallah.
And faith, and you're happy and safe, washing your hands and wearing a mask. Have you watched The Avengers?
Not really.
What?
Yeah, because I don't remember. I guess I have watched it like years ago.
The last Avenger came out last year. Are you one of those? Are you one of those who doesn't watch Avengers?
Or are you more of a DC person?
Are you more of a Batman, Superman sort of character?
I'm really not fond of those, you know, superheroes, the fictional characters.
Yeah, we can't work together anymore. We just can't. No. Because now I don't know what to talk with you about. Anyway, I mentioned Avengers because the topic I thought it would be good for us to discuss today is the topic of revenge. Ton.
But I'm really sorry, my bad. I did not watch your favorite.
Make sure
series.
You watch it. It wasn't my favorite, but it was, you know, related to our topic. A lot of revenge took place.
Uh-huh.
Thus the name Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
You can make sure to watch it after
okay,
this.
So I'll take it from you in HD.
Sure.
High definition.
Yes. Good idea. So revenge.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been you?
Mm-hmm.
Hassanay.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a position in life where you had to take revenge from someone?
Yeah.
Or you wanted to take revenge from someone?
Yeah, there have been, you know, quite a few times that, you know, basically, like, you know, from the bullies, like, people, you know, the bullies, you know, they tease you, they try to fight with you, you know. So that was a time where, like, back in my college, you know, there are the bullies in every college, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so.
I was one of those bullies.
Hey.
No, I'm kidding. You'll never know.
Let's see in the future. I have been a victim quite a few times, you know, where people, they try to tease you. You call it ragging, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They try to rag you. So over there, I wanted to take a revenge, you know. I was one of those guys, like, you know, some bullies come and they tease people and they're quiet and they just accept whatever they're doing to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would avenge them, you know. I would just
Oh, you would stick up for the other person.
Yeah.
You were a regular Iron Man. Wow. Hassanain Man to the rescue. How about that? Would you succeed in avenging? Would you really kick that person in the face and make them beg for mercy?
Sometimes actually, but they actually even tried to bully me.
Ah, okay, I don't blame them.
So you know what happened is so let me tell you what happened. My experience.
Do tell.
So,
yes.
Okay, so they were trying to bully me. So I went home and I told to my mom. I was like, Mom, you know, there are some people that they're bullying me. So I want to avenge them. Like, I want to take revenge. You know, I was like, tomorrow, either I'll get hit or I'll hit them really bad.
Like,
bro, she didn't send me to the college from the next day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. She was that worried about you.
Yeah.
Well, I personally, well, my respect to your mama.
Mm-hmm.
Respect to your mom. I mean, she just wanted to keep her baby safe. But I feel that every man needs to have a fist fight at least once in their life. It really built character, you know?
So basically you're pro-revenge.
No, I'm not pro-revenge. I'm pro-fist fight.
What your personal experiences?
Regarding revenge? Does taking revenge from my siblings count? Because that I've done a lot.
Okay, I'm hearing.
What so we're three brothers, and we would get into a lot of fights and arguments. And there have been instances where I took cold, hardcore, brutal revenge from them.
Poor guys.
Like, oh, I got them grounded for weeks, and it was horrible. I'm not proud of it, but I've, you know. But in real life, I don't remember the last time I even felt the need to take revenge from anyone.
Because what was the reason?
I'm not bothered.
What
situation? Well, a lot. There was, like, double-crossing. There was there was deception. There were sometimes close friends that I grew up with, you know, and with those kind of friends, you feel like you can trust them with everything because they were constantly in the context of your life. And there were cases where something's happened, you wouldn't want them to share with anyone else, and they did it anyway. And that just makes you want to kick your best friend in the face. But I didn't do it. Or that makes you want to go share one of their secrets with someone. But I didn't
So you mean to say the equal revenge?
Yeah, like... something like that. But I didn't feel like I wanted to do that at all. I was like, meh, I'll just stop talking to her. You know?
So let's look at the Islamic point of view.
Definitely.
What does Islam say about revenge?
Well, there's a concept called qisas in Islam, which basically says if someone
hurts you... retaliation.
Yes, retaliation. Eye for an eye, you know? Yeah. If someone hurts you, you can hurt them back in the equal amount. It's not like someone... bullies you and then you burn their house down and kill their family. No. But then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam speak about the concept of qisas, immediately after that they say it's always better to be the bigger person.
Like to forgive them.
To forgive them. There's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam where his eminence says, the strongest person is one who forgives when they are capable of revenge.
So basically Islam, you know, teaches forgiveness over revenge.
Promotes forgiveness, mercy, compassion. Because at the end of the day, the ideology behind it is that wouldn't you want Allah to forgive you?
Yeah.
We mess up a lot in our lives. Yeah. Allah could retaliate. He could, you know, he could be like, oh, you messed up. I'm going to give you hell.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you burn.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do that. He's like, even though he's capable of punishing me, he
chooses... We actually need to see that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He chooses to forgive me instead.
He's the Rahman al-Rahim. He's the, you know... forgiver, the greatest forgiver.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you said Rahman and Rahim because it basically means his mercy. He has a general mercy that he applies to everyone, whether they believe in him, whether they don't believe in him, whether they're good people, bad people, you know. And then he has a specific, special sort of mercy that he only gives to his favorite people, like Zainab, you know. I'm a subject to Allah's special mercy. I keep telling myself that so I'd be able to wake up in the morning and get out of bed.
So, Sister Zainab, what do you think about, you know, people revenging, like, in words? Like, you know, someone curses someone, and shall he, you know, shall he curse back at him?
Like, retaliate in words. You can, if you want to make your own life miserable. You know, like you say something bad to me today, right? And I hold a grudge against you. And I'm like, I know I have recording with Brother Hassanain again next Tuesday. And I just build up all, I plot and I scheme when I see him next time. How am I going to retaliate? How am I going to say something that will really hurt him? And I hold this heavy grudge and this bitter feeling with me. I carry it around for an entire week, you know, and that's sickening.
No, like, I'm talking about the situation itself, not holding personal grudges. Like, you know, someone roasted someone, and, you know, he's roasting him back, you know, like swearing at someone.
You can. I think you can. But, you know, the Quran says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Retaliate with that which is better.
Like what?
someone curses you out, uh-huh. someone insults you, someone roasts you, someone makes a sly comment about you, mm-hmm. you can retaliate and curse them back. Mm-hmm. And then you'll probably have an argument. Well, we'll probably lead it to a fist fight.
Yeah, so it basically keeps on increasing.
Exactly. You know, it won't de-escalate the situation. Yeah. Or you can ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. Mm-hmm. You can retaliate. You can answer them with something which is better.
So usually, let's look at it this way. If we say that cursing someone is a sin.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so if someone curses me, he's a sinner now.
Uh-huh.
If I curse back at him, when I'm cursing, even I become a sinner.
Exactly.
So now they're two sinners. You know, it just worsens up the situation.
Exactly. It makes the situation escalate and makes people angrier. But if you just, you don't necessarily, like, someone calls you a jerk and a horrible things, and you don't have to say, oh, I love you too. You can just remain silent, you know, and wait for that person to cool down. And when
it's most of the times when you're talking about, you know, jerks with people trying to roast us, it's just that, you know, they want a reaction from
exactly
us. And if you just don't react to them, they're just, oh, this guy's not reacting.
Yeah. And then they feel embarrassed and they'll just go quiet.
But so, no use of roasting it.
Yeah,
I'm not getting any proper attention
from
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because that's what usually roasters need. They need attention.
Attention seekers.
Yeah, they're attention seekers. They're probably compensating for some sort of shortcoming they had in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another really great tool to use when we feel the urge to avenge, take revenge, is to sympathize with the person. Put yourself in that person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And try to figure out where they're coming from. Why did they do this? Most of the time, people hurt each other because they themselves are hurting. You know? It's seldom do
we... Like, they're already hurt.
Seldom do we come across people who are sadistics or narcissists, or they're just really evil. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
They're just hurting, and they're going through stuff, and they haven't been able to process it correctly, and they just project it on you. So sympathize.
Okay, so basically I was saying that, you know, if someone has hurt us, you know, we can do two things. You know, even we can take revenge from him, or we can just walk away with dignity. You know, later on we'll forget that, you know, it's all right, the situation is normal now. Don't you think this is the better option?
Exactly. But if we retaliate and take revenge, we're going to be more stressful. It's going to be more stressful. We're going to feel more agitated. We're constantly on guard to see when that person will take another revenge from me, and the cycle will never end.
So we just need to walk away and let it go.
Yes, that's usually the better option.
Yeah.
Do you think you can give our listeners a practical method to let it go?
Okay, so what I think is, you know, practice. You know, it needs practice. It's not too easy, actually. You know, if someone comes and he swears at you, it's not easy just forgetting it. We need to practice, you know, taking things easy. So, you know, it shouldn't affect upon us, you know, someone coming and...
But it's easier said than done.
Yeah, it needs practice, as
I said. And I think we need to feel something within us to motivate us to let it go and walk away, because...
We should look at the outcome.
Yes, that's a good motivation. Looking at the outcome... And also, what we need to understand is that...
And sometimes, you know, even we are helpless to let it go.
What do you mean?
You know, someone comes and he is trying to fight with us. If you fight back, you know, we don't have that much, you know, the ability. We don't have that much of power.
Mm.
There might be three guys and you're alone. They'll kick you out.
I think another good solution to it is to believe that Allah is just. He's fair.
Exactly, yeah.
Even if I am incapable of taking my revenge now and teaching those jerks a lesson, Allah is always capable.
Like, Allah does not burden a soul more than it can bear.
Mm.
So it might be a test for you. So it might be a test so that you can grow yourself.
Yeah, of course, all the time.
We need to, you know, let it go in the sense like we need to look at the outcome, what, you know, results it might give us. And we need to learn how to take things like easy. So there's a way.
And it's better for us too, you know? We're the one who's going to win if we learn to let it go.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. Thank you so very much for being with us. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.
I am what I am. because you made I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my alpha and omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, a light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love, my love is strong.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends. And here is what Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, told her loving husband, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, on her deathbed. Let my death not dishearten you. You have to serve Islam and humanity for a long time to come. And let not my sufferings embitter your life. Please promise me, O Ali.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
To France. Yep. Brexit is over, but not everything is fine and dandy in the UK. Scotland has reiterated that it has the right to decide its future. Scotland says that it did not decide on Brexit and it happened without the support of Scotland. In fact, in 2016, 62% of Scotland voted against Brexit. Ever since 2016, calls for independence from the UK have grown. Just recently, Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon of the SNP party said in a tweet on December 24, 2020, that Brexit is happening against Scotland's will. She also said that it is time for Scotland to chart its own future as an independent European nation. Then on New Year's Day 2021, Sturgeon said, quote, "Time to put ourselves in the driving seat of our own future, Scotland." Scotland has had a bitter history with Britain. In the 12th century, Britain invaded Scotland. In 1296, the First War of Independence for Scotland began. By 1328, Scotland's independence is recognized. Then shortly after, the Second War of Independence begins in 1332 and ends in 1357 with the Treaty of Berwick. In 1707, the Treaty of the Union creates the United Kingdom of Britain with Scotland included. In 1934, Scottish National Party SNP is founded. In 1973, United Kingdom joins the European Economic Community, which is later renamed the European Union. In 1979, a referendum on Scottish devolution is held, but does not achieve the necessary 40% of the electorate. The SNP experiences an electoral decline during the 1980s. A 1997 referendum shows overwhelming support for a separate Scottish Parliament with tax-raising powers. In 1999, elections are held for the first 129-member Scottish Parliament. In November 2013, Scottish Government publishes Scotland's future, making the case for independence. On September 18, 2014, a referendum for independence took place. Scotland voted 55% to leave the UK and be an independent country. Fast forward to 2021, however, the idea of independence of Scotland has majority support from Scottish people.
Yes, I think there will be an awful lot of activity to put pressure for independence. There'll be a lot of activity to get a majority in the Holyrood elections, which will be independence-supporting majority. That's really important. And then try to get an independence referendum as soon as possible after that.
People in Scotland are just not happy about Brexit because Scotland is out of the European Union too. But now they want out of the UK and maybe rejoin the EU as an independent entity away from the UK and its policies.
We both voted yes, and obviously in the European referendum we voted to remain. So we're very strong about both these things, very strong about Scotland being an independent nation, and we're very strong about Scotland being within Europe.
Scotland is just an independent country. Break the union, get back to independence, and that's what we want. That's always been our goal. Never been very big fans of the Westminster regime.
Such dissent against the regime in London has always upset the Queen of England. Even in the days running up to the 2014 referendum for Scottish independence, the Queen broke her silence and urged Scots to think carefully about the future before they vote on Scotland's independence. This was reiterated at the time by then-British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, who in fact urged the Scots to put away their calls for freedom from the UK.
So I would make a plea this morning that the yes and no posters, let's throw them away. That the yes and no stickers, let's cast them aside and make them for the history books, an honoured place in the history books. And let us think of ourselves no more as pro-independence and anti-independence. Let us think of ourselves no more as simply patriots or nationalists.
This has always been the stance of London, and when current Prime Minister Boris Johnson rose to power, many pointed out his stance against an independent Scotland. According to UK-based The Times paper, Boris Johnson again rejected demands for another vote on Scottish independence. He believes that there shouldn't be another vote for Scotland's independence for another 40 years since the last vote in 2014. Back in 2020, Boris Johnson made it clear that he is against the independence of Scotland.
The union is a fantastically strong institution. It's helped our country through thick and thin. It's very, very valuable in terms of the support we've been able to give to everybody throughout all corners of the UK. And you know, we had a referendum on breaking up the union a few years ago. I think only 6 years ago. That is not a generation by any computation. And I think what people really want to do is see our whole country coming back strongly together.
So according to Boris, the 2014 vote for Scottish independence was a once-in-a-generation referendum, and it is highly unlikely that London would allow it once more. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, who is pushing for another independence referendum, jumped on Johnson's comments. She said it was worth bookmarking these PM comments for the next time Tories, Conservatives, say they're not a threat to the powers of the Scottish Parliament, or, even more incredibly, that they support devolving more powers. So will a new referendum make a difference? According to a recent poll by Scotsman Savanta Comres, 58% of voters intend to vote yes, with 42% voting no if a referendum on Scotland's independence were held today. The poll also states 40% of voters believe a second independence referendum should happen within the next 2 years. The poll comes just months before the May Scottish parliamentary elections, which will eventually set up the course for a possible second referendum on Scotland's independence. Independent political analyst and former research director at the market research company Ipsos believes that the UK has made another referendum impossible.
Legal way, in which case there is absolutely no chance, because the way the law stands at the moment, the UK government has to agree to an independence referendum taking place in Scotland, and the Prime Minister, newly elected, with a big majority and no incentive really to allow a referendum, has basically said absolutely no way.
The poll by the Scotsman Savanta Comres also suggests that the Scottish National Party of the SNP, the party leading the calls for the referendum, would gain 71 seats if elections were to be held today. That's up 8 seats from the last elections in 2016. The SNP is also viewed as the most trustworthy party on several key issues, including traditionally strong Conservative areas such as the economy, jobs and education.
I think the referendum, for a whole variety of reasons, should be in the earlier part of the next Parliament. I'm not going to sit here right now. I intend to say more about this before the election in our manifesto.
On July 23, 2020, Scotland's First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, speaking on stage at a briefing, said that Scotland will seek to become an independent country once more.
The case for us being able to choose independence is clear. 6 years ago, as all of you know, Scotland had a vote on whether to become an independent country. Opponents of independence said repeatedly that voting to remain in the UK was the only way for us to stay in the European Union. I think it's fair to say it hasn't quite worked out that way.
This message to the Scots and the world has caused a sense of euphoria among people of Scotland who have for generations yearned to be independent of the UK. Marches like these have been the scene in Scotland recently.
I voted for independence, so it's just the same. I still want independence.
So it remains to be seen whether or not the regime in the UK will answer to the generation's long yearning of the Scottish people for freedom when the time inevitably comes. Or will another generation be forced to live under the powers of those who have conquered it once again?
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
رضيته بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listener of IRIB English Radio, today's special, salam and welcome to this program. Today we're going to speak about Allah in our daily life.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا يا الله يا منان حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا
Grateful today for difference and change for all colors and shades Cause you made it this way وهبتنا النبراس بحب كل الناس أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هادينا
Today, Tuesday, is the 12th of Jamadil Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We choose chapter Nisa from the Holy Quran to listen. We listen to verse 81 of this chapter.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويقولون طاعة فإذا برزوا من عندك بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول والله يكتب ما يبيتون فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا
And they say, we pledge obedience. But when they leave you, a group of them spend the night determining to do other than what you say. But Allah records what they plan by night. So leave them alone and rely upon Allah. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the Quran has pointed to the situation of some hypocrites. It says that when they come besides the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, they harmonize with others and express that they obey the command of the Holy Prophet. But when go out from the presence of the Prophet, they neglect their promises. And in their night meetings, they make some decisions against the Holy Prophet. Yet Allah commands His Messenger to turn aside from them with no fear. Allah is ordered not to reply on them in His affairs, but to trust only in Allah, who is the best sustaining helper and the protector.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. And this part is entitled The Signs of Allah in Our Daily Life. The love to be informed about and know the world is deep inside every one of us. We all want to know, in truth, did this elevated heaven with its beautiful stars, this extensive earth with its heart-rendering views, these various creatures, beautiful birds, various kinds of fish, the seas and flowers, the bosoms, plants, abundant trees, whose tops reach towards the heavens, did all of these things come into being of their own free will? Or were all of these wonderful forms painted by an expert, a powerful painter? Beyond all of this, the first question which comes to mind for all of us is, where did we come from? Where are we? Where are we going? If we know the answers to these three questions, how happy will we be? That is, if we know where our life began and where it be finally and where it will finally end and what duties we have now, our searching spirit tells us, you must not sit quietly until the answers come. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role of feeling the presence of God in our daily life. Imam Ali alayhi salam elsewhere indicated it in this way, in that whenever you encounter an enemy, speak less and be considerate of the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Another use of being considerate of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life is for the sake of merchandise and for the sake of trading. Even in trading, we find that people who are engaged in trading think less about Allah and more about achieving more benefits and profits. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam indicated it in this way: أكثر ذكر الله عز وجل إذا دخلتم الأسواق عند الاشتغال الناس فإنه كفارة للذنوب وزيادة في الحسنات ولا تكتبوا في الغافل ولا تكتبوا في الغافلين. Whenever you go to the market, to bazaar, to market, and find that people are engaged in trading, I mean in merchandise, in commercial businesses, you should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. Doing this, I mean, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a place where people, where most people are concerned with commercial activities, will erase your sins and add it to your positive profile and to your good deeds. And then you wouldn't be regarded as those people who were overlookers. Among the people who used to be overlooking.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
Relying on Allah in our daily lives. How to be mindful of Allah? The basis of mindfulness is our knowledge that Allah is always watching us at all times, and as a consequence, we develop greater attention and care for our own actions, thoughts, feelings, and inner states of being. As Allah said, remember that Allah knows what is in your souls, so be mindful of Him. And it is not simply a recommended character trait, but rather it is the realization of the supreme character trait, spiritual excellence. As the Prophet defined in the famous hadith, spiritual excellence is to worship Allah as if you see Him. For if you do not see Him, He certainly sees you. In other words, spiritual excellence is to be completely aware and mindful of Allah at all times.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Easy ways to remember Allah. Surround yourself with good company. We are all social creatures, be it in a person or just online. Being in a company of others who are mindful of Allah and strive to be good really does make a positive impact. If, for example, praying 5 times a day is difficult for you, find a friend who does and go for your prayers together. It's easier to be in the remembrance of Allah when we surround ourselves with company that does so too. People that we follow online has an effect on how we perceive the world as well. It's very easy to get caught up in the lives of others behind the screen, so it's important for us to also pick and choose whom we follow online and use social media for the benefit of others.
We have 3 verses in the Holy Quran which speak about why God created us. One of them, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. God created life and death to test you. So one verse is telling us we've been created in this life to be tested. That's one verse. Another verse says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the humans except to worship the Almighty God. A third verse explains it all. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. The reason why God created people and humanity is to have mercy on them. إِلَّا رَحْمَةً مِّن رَبِّكَ وَلِذَٰلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. So we have 3. One says to be tested, one says to worship, one says to be subjected to God's mercy. How do we reconcile? The main goal why God created us, when He did not need to create us. There was a time where there was God and nothing else. No creation. God does not need us. God does not need our worship. God created us to have mercy on us. But how do you achieve that mercy? Through what? Through worship. If you want to taste the mercy of God, you have to be eligible for the mercy of God. God has mercy on everyone, but there's levels. There's degrees of mercy. If you want the special degrees of mercy, you can find it through worship. And that's how we're tested in this life.
That was all for today's special. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of our program. Till another episode of today's special. May Allah keep you safe.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes. Yeah, I
know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, there you are, guiding me through.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.